Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't let anger be sin. Watch your words. Forgive. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would let the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, so that we can learn from your word as we feed our spirits, so that we can become spiritually stronger and grow to be more like you every day in every way. Greetings, saints. Our reading is Ephesians 4, verse 26 to 32, TPT. But don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't let anger control you or be fuel for revenge, not for even a day. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. If any one of you has stolen from someone else, never do it again. Instead, be industrious, earning an honest living, and then you'll have enough to bless those in need. And never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth, but instead let your words become beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. So never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted His holy influence in your life. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults. But instead, be kind and affectionate toward one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. Today's scripture covers a number of topics. One is about work in verse 28. We see this in 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 10. For when we were with you, we instructed you with these words, anyone who does not want to work for a living should go hungry. So people being lazy or not pulling their weight need to do something about it. Like, do you realize the unemployment rate is an issue in some instances, and some older folk have retired or semi-retired, like myself. I don't do high pressure jobs anymore, I only do part-time work, but basically be diligent. Another topic is the Holy Spirit. Basically, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And when you grieve the Holy Spirit, it's when you are treating Him lightly, as if He's not important. When we are born again, we need to show the fruit of repentance. That means we live a kind of life that Jesus lived. When He walked the planet, He was busy about His Father's business. Even at the age of 12, when they went to visit the temple, He stayed and discussed things with the religious leaders. And when His parents went looking for Him, that's where they found Him. And He said He was about His Father's business at the time. That was long before His ministry. But He was still probably challenging the ideas about God. That's just my guess. It doesn't say so. But yeah, with the relationship that He had with His Father, His Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, it is quite reasonable to suppose that at the age of 12, He had a very good idea of what the scriptures said, and I'm quite sure He learned way more than the other boys in school because He had that divine connection with His Heavenly Father that the other kids just didn't know about. Now, grieving the Holy Spirit is different to blaspheming the Holy Spirit. The introduction to the idea is in Mark 3:22, TPT. The religious scholars who arrived from Jerusalem were saying, Satan has possessed him. He casts out demons by the authority of the prince of demons. And Jesus' reply comes in Mark 3, verse 28 to 30, TPT. I tell you this timeless truth. All sin will be forgiven, even all the blasphemies that are spoken. But there can never be forgiveness for the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, for he is guilty of an eternal sin. This is because they said he was empowered by a demon spirit. So, blaspheming against the Holy Spirit is when you purposefully go against the Holy Spirit. When you assign what God is doing to demonic influences. When you give credit where credit is not due. Nothing anybody can do can earn them salvation. But once we are born again, once we are saved, we need to behave like children of the King of Kings. This idea is portrayed in Philippians 2, verse 12 to 13, TPT. My beloved ones, just like you've always listened to everything I've taught you in the past, I'm asking you now to keep following my instructions as though I were right there with you. Now you must continue to make this new life fully manifested as you live in the holy awe of God, which brings you trembling into His presence. God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases Him. So we cannot please God in our own strength. We need to rely on His grace every day to enable us to live the life that is pleasing to our loving Redeemer. Another topic is anger. That's in verse 26 and 27. Now, there is such a thing as righteous indignation. We see this in John 2, verse 13 to 17, TPT. When the time was close for the Jewish Passover to begin, Jesus walked to Jerusalem. As he went into the temple courtyard, he noticed it was filled with merchants selling oxen, lambs, and doves for exorbitant prices, while others were overcharging as they exchanged currency behind their counters. So Jesus found some cords and made them into a whip. Then he drove out every one of them and their animals from the courtyard of the temple, and he kicked over their tables filled with money, scattering it everywhere. And he told the merchants, "Get these things out of here. Don't you dare commercialize my Father's house." That's when his disciples remembered the scripture, "I am consumed with a fiery passion to keep your house pure." So Jesus did not get into a rage. He was angry, but he didn't lose control. He did a very controlled action of making some cords into a whip. And then he chased them out and overturned the money tables and told them not to treat God's house as a marketplace. So anger becomes sin when you hold on to it, when you let it fester, when it becomes bitterness. That's why it says in Ephesians 4 verse 31, which is part of our reading today in the NKJV, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." So even when Jesus was righteously indignant about them using the temple as a marketplace, he did not remain angry. He dealt with the issue and moved on. Of course, any thoughts about anger needs to go hand in hand with thoughts about forgiveness, as mentioned in verse 32 of our text. We see this in Matthew 6, verse 12, NCV. "Forgive us for our sins, just as we have forgiven those who sinned against us." And then it carries on a verse later, Matthew 6, 14 to 15, NCV. "Yes, if you forgive others for their sins, your Father in heaven will also forgive you for your sins. But if you don't forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins." So unforgiveness is a salvation issue. Unforgiveness can keep you out of heaven, can send you to hell. It is a very, very serious issue. There is that parable in the New Testament in Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's where a servant owed his master a lot of money, and the master forgave his debt, and that same servant went out and found a fellow servant who owed him just a little bit of money. And he did not forgive his fellow servant. He put him in jail and demanded payment. And then the other servants were upset about it, and they told the master. And the master said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you. You should have forgiven your fellow servant." And he was thrown out into torment. So forgiveness is as essential to your Christian walk as oxygen is to your body's ongoing survival. You have to have it. There's no two ways about it. You need to walk in forgiveness every day, every moment of every day. If someone wrongs you, even if it's a valid grievance, forgive that person. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to suffer from poisoning, to die from poisoning. Not going to happen. You're the one that's going to suffer. You're the one that's going to die if you drink the poison of unforgiveness. So please, I beg of you, forgive, even if the other person does not deserve forgiveness. Remember, you and I were once sinners. You and I were once enemies of God. You and I don't deserve forgiveness either. Even if you think you haven't done anything really bad, you've still fallen short of God's glory. And therefore you are a sinner, and I'm a sinner, and therefore we need forgiveness just as much as anybody else. Just as much as the people that have wronged us, we also need forgiveness. So let's give what we get. We get forgiveness, Let give forgiveness. Another topic in verses 29 and 31 is about words. In Proverbs 18, verse 21 in TPT, it says, "Your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life, and the talkative person will reap the consequences." And another thing about words, well, it might refer to actions, but it more often than not refers to words, is also in Proverbs 18, it's verse 19, a few verses earlier. It says, "It is easier to conquer a strong city than to win back a friend whom you've offended. Their walls go up, making it nearly impossible to win them back." And so, unkind words can cause offense. And remember, God is love. And a child of God is a child of love. A child birthed in love. And so, horrible words, unkind words, words that make other people feel bad about themselves, should not be coming out of our mouth at all. So, whether we are preaching, teaching, talking, whatever we are doing, do not let disrespectful words come out of our mouths concerning another person. I love a good sense of humor. I think laughter is good for the soul, and I do enjoy a good sense of humor. But that sense of humor must never, ever be at somebody else's expense. If you can find something funny to laugh about that is not dissing somebody else, that's great. But if it makes anybody else feel embarrassed or bad about themselves or anything like that, do not say those words. Just swallow those words. Just take the thoughts captive and lay them at the foot of the cross. They don't belong in the vocabulary of a child of God. Instead, we need to speak life. We see that in John 6, verse 63, NKJV. "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." So there's a song that goes, "Speak life," and we do need to speak positive, speak life over our situations. There's some more advice in Galatians 5, verse 13 to 15, TPT. "Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an excuse to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. Constantly love each other and be committed to serve one another. For all the law can be summarized in one grand statement. Demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. But if you continue to criticize and come against each other over minor issues, you're acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another." In KJV in verse 15 says, "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." So being unkind to our fellow human being, especially our fellow believer, is a really bad idea. It can only harm both yourself and the other person. But beautiful, helpful, encouraging, kind words, those are what build yourself up and build each other up. So, don't let anger become sin, and don't disregard the Holy Spirit. That will grieve him. And be careful of your words. And above all, forgive everyone. And if the devil reminds you of something that happened to you a while back, and it was something that hurt you at the time, I actually make it a habit of just saying, "I forgive that person," again, even if I've forgiven them before. Because it's a reminder to myself and the enemy that I have forgiven them and I am walking in love and forgiveness. So, yeah, whether I forgive a person 100 times or however many times, it's just a reminder to the enemy and to myself that I have forgiven them and I am walking in love as commanded by our loving Heavenly Father. And as you're walking in love and being kind, I'm sure you'll be shining a light.